Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires, Galatians 5:24. There are many, and have been many, who have deceived themselves and others into believing that they are in a relationship with the Lord, only to one day have something happen that opens their eyes and their ears, and they realize that the life that they thought that they had lived was never real. And in that moment, for the first time, they see Jesus as he is, and they are amazed. You see, a man cannot physically separate from himself. He is who he is until the Spirit of God comes and is welcomed in by that man. And it is only then that the work of the Holy Spirit can begin to transform that man. And he learns to think differently, to see differently, to talk differently, to act differently, as his worldly view is changed to a godly view. And from where he now stands, nothing looks the same. All of mankind is of heavenly design. We are all made in the image of God, and all of creation comes from God. All of creation is sustained by God and watched over by him. He sees everything, he knows everything, and is everywhere at all times. But not all of mankind are heavenly minded. God has given to each of us something called free will. It is the right to choose, the ability to choose, and all of the choices before man are of two natures, good or evil. As Adam was the first man, it was by his choice, in a place of perfection, as God had just created the heavens and the earth and everything was as it was created to be, that from his act of disobedience all men were cursed. Some will cry out, "That's not fair. How can you blame others for something that one man did?" But if being in a place of perfection, if being in a relationship with the Creator was not inspiration to not disobey, then what would keep someone from straying? Jesus, the Son of God, chose to come to earth to also be the Son of Man. He chose to be the ransom for many. He chose to give his life that we may live through him, because he had been given the authority to pick his life back up so that death could not claim him. And he would do what no other could do, as everyone else being created would have been affected by the curse after the first sin had been committed against God. And Jesus alone would conquer death, and he alone would set the captives of the earth free from the power of the prince of the air, if only they would believe in him. But man is so arrogant to believe that he can approach the powers of darkness and that he can outwit the evil one. He doesn't realize that that train of thought is proof that the evil one has captured him in his thinking, and that the things that he does are for the evil one, and not for the good that that man has believed he is doing. Because unless God is in it, it will come to ruin. Unless God is in what is being done, it will not stand the test of time. And unless God fills a man with his Holy Spirit, that man will not see the error of his ways, nor will he hear as the sound of death thunders upon him. From Matthew 1:21, the angel said to Joseph, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Well, the name Jesus means the Lord saves. And Jesus would come in the name of the Lord God to save what had been lost. Temptation would enter into some of the angels in heaven, and they would in turn be cast down to the earth. And when God created man, the leader of those fallen angels now saw man as a way to get at the heart of God. And sin was introduced into the world, and even though God had prepared the perfect place to commune with man, man fell into temptation and disobeyed God. He was then found hiding in the shadows until he was called out by God to answer for what he had done, and to hear the consequences that would come from his choosing to not stop and think before doing. Sweet and innocent appeared the question that the tempter asked, but bitter and deadly was the consequence of it. Sin, in the biblical context, is any action, thought, or attitude that transgresses the divine law and will of God. It is fundamentally an act of rebellion against God's holiness and righteousness. The act of disobedience towards the things of God, it's rebellion. In Romans 6:23, the Apostle Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The definition of wages is a fitting return, recompense, a reward compensated. Wages can refer to physical payment for labor, as well as the spiritual consequences or rewards for one's actions. The New Testament often speaks of wages in a spiritual context, where wages metaphorically represents the consequences of sin, contrasting with the gift of salvation offered through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin as death contrasts sharply with the gift of God as eternal life, emphasizing the transformative power of Christ's sacrifice and the hope of salvation. In a spiritual sense, Christians are reminded of the gravity of sin and the profound gift of grace offered through Jesus Christ. The concept of wages serves as a call to live righteously, recognizing the eternal consequences of one's actions and the immeasurable value of God's grace. Eternal death is the wages or just recompenses of sin, while eternal life is not a recompense earned by obedience, but a sovereign gift of God. So a command had been given, a choice was made, temptation sweetened with the lie, and actions were taken. Truth was revealed, consequences were laid out, and judgment fell. And there would be no lasting way of reconciliation until the price for sin was paid, and there would be only one who could pay that price, and he would come from heaven, the Son of God, whose name was Jesus, the Lord saves. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. John 3:16-21. So when the question is raised to you or within you, did God really say? Be prepared to give an answer, and let that answer be from the Word of God himself, and in that you will never go wrong, nor can you be blamed for steering another in the wrong direction. What a different world we would live in were the church unified in one purpose with one heart and one mind. But the tempter has infiltrated the church, and by this choice, the church that claims to stand for the Lord God, it has been found itself trying to cover what it has done with the leaf of a fig tree and has drawn back into the shadows, embracing the lies that make one comfortable, that makes one acceptable to man, that hides the truth that there is one way, one truth, and only one life. And to live it, one must call upon the name of Jesus, the Lord saves. And that person must confess the truth of the life that they live in rebellion to God. They must commit to turning from their wicked ways, not the perceived ways of those that they agree or disagree with, but from the Word of God. They must be willing to fight every day to deny pleasures and the desires of their sinful nature that will tempt them in every way to return to what makes them feel good and what makes them acceptable to others, what makes them happy. And they need to seek the Lord in all things, for his word will guide them. They are to seek the face of God, not only his hand to help them, but his heart, so that they may come to know him and love him as he loves them. You see, he was willing to die for us. Just how many of us are willing to die for him? As there was a beginning, so there shall be an end. As we are born, so shall we die, if the Lord tarries. Are you ready for that day? Be it whether you're being called out of the world or the rapture occurs, signaling the beginning of the end of all things as we now know them, change is coming. Readiness and preparedness is approached today in the form of stockpiling food for disasters. It means having money in the bank for emergencies. It means having a good health insurance plan for unexpected events. And it means everything except a readiness for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ or being called out of the world. The Lord saves. Jesus will keep all those given him by the Father. So trust him with your life, because he is life. And he will lead you into the way of everlasting, to be with him forever. And the alternative to that life is eternal condemnation for the choices that you made or chose not to make. Rebellion has consequences, and justice will be served, and not one will be able to plead his cause in the day of judgment. Today is the day to make ready and prepare the way for the Lord.